Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We do this Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 12 noon Central Standard Time. You can find us on the internet if you want to stream at 1017thetruth.com. We're also on YouTube. Search 1017thetruth via YouTube. Hit subscribe. You'll be able to see the live in-studio cameras of our programs and also participate in the sometimes salacious YouTube chat. And then if you want to follow me, because I have my own YouTube channel as well, where we recap the day's show in an hour-long uncensored format. And when I say uncensored, I mean like Al uncensored. That's Hughes Views 414. Tonight on Hughes Views 414, beginning at 7 p.m., myself and Dr. Ken Harris are going to do some election coverage because, you know, you guys just can't get enough election coverage on what has been a very unorthodox and ideologically topsy-turvy Democratic primary for governor in the state of Wisconsin. It's the first time we have had an open race for Wisconsin governor in, it's been 8 years. So there you go. Let's talk to someone who we've all been waiting for, and their sentiments will provide guidance for all of us who still, at this point, may be undecided. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Sherwin. I won't provide no guidance for nobody. This is just how I feel.
Okay.
What's most important to me in this election?
Yes.
The most important thing in this election to me is all of them get together and vote for that one that wins. In the end, that's the most important thing for me in this election. If they all get together on whoever wins and back that person up. You know, and he said it was a long line. I mean, it was five people in the line.
Where was it? Hold on, Bob. Wait. Where was there a long line?
I mean, a short line.
Good.
Five people. But it was. The first time I voted, it was 8:30 in the morning, and there was a long line for Obama.
Bob, that's Obama. That world doesn't even exist anymore. If you go vote now, you're going to be the only one there. You might not even see any poll workers if you go vote now.
Look.
You look.
You know, you the treasury. Whoever, I don't know if he's Chinese or Japanese.
Oh, my God.
But now Bob, I know who
Bob, there's more choices than that. There's many different flavors of Asian. It's more than Chinese.
No, you already told me the choice when you said that guy, I don't know his name.
Yi Ling Zhang. You better put some respect on his Asian name.
All right. And I hope whenever, you know, I just remember it was Thompson against Thompson. Do you remember that when we had a Thompson governor and a Thompson governor of Wisconsin and Illinois?
No.
Thompson wanted to.
Nobody cares about no governor of Illinois, man. We live in Wisconsin. We don't care about what y'all do down there because y'all eat fat pizza. We don't like fat pizza people up here. And you don't even live in Illinois anymore. You live in Racine.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Sherwin.
Who you voting for, Bob? Yeah. Tell us. Have you made your mind up?
I just hope they don't do nothing like Pence did.
Hey, Bob.
I mean, what?
Stop talking about Mike Pence. Like, today is election day. Who are you voting for? The people need to know.
Oh, you know, you won't tell me who you voting for, so I'm just made to vote for Crowley, I guess. You know, I don't know. You know, and that treasury guy who's either Chinese or Japanese.
Bob, there's more choices than that. It's a beautiful rainbow of Asians. They have many countries. There's billions of them. There's so many different Asians. They're not just Chinese or Japanese.
Oh, he's Asian, huh? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. He's Asian. Oh. All right, then, Sherwin. I will see you later, because that's about all I got to say. I have nothing else to say, you know, except I just hope everybody gets together and get behind that guy that, or that woman that wins the governor, you know, and whoops that guy, Republican.
What's the Republican's name? Do you know his name?
It began with a T. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a... It began at Tillis.
Yep. That's him.
I say it right?
Yep. Sure did. We don't want to vote. Mm-hmm. We don't want Tillis in there because him and Trump are real tight. We don't want that now.
Yeah, that's the most important part of my election. And I'm ashamed of myself for not voting for Obama. You made me ashamed of myself, sir.
You should
be. I'm glad I'm voting now.
Okay, then.
I just talk to you later, sir.
Okay, bye-bye. That right there was, I'm not kidding you, that's the average Wisconsin voter. Him. That right there. Don't really know much. Chinese, Japanese, it made it seem like Asian is a whole category. Either Chinese, you're Japanese, or you're Asian. Like that right there. And so those of us that pay a lot of attention, that follow this stuff closely, like Bob just sounds ridiculously uninformed. And the majority of the electorate, this is what's crazy, ladies and gentlemen, the majority of the electorate actually is incredibly uninformed.
I love the poorly educated.
That's right. And the turnout percentage that we're going to see, which I believe is going to be less than 35%, probably less than 30%. I got some details of, I want to give you guys some perspective because some of y'all think, oh, this is going to be a really high turnout election. I tell you what, if it's raining, when the majority of the people go and cast their ballots, which is usually after work, take another 2% off. I am not kidding you. There are people that are not going to want to get their hair wet. They're literally not going to vote because it's raining. Rain decreases voter turnout. So if you think that there's a lot of commitment on behalf of the voters, there's not. But the higher the voter percentage is in a partisan primary, the more educated and the more informed your body politic slash your voters are. So if we have low voter turnout, which we will, that means that civics education has not quite permeated through the voters or the would-be voters in the state of Wisconsin. And it's actually really embarrassing. Five states so far meet or exceed the 30% turnout. And this is from the bipartisanpolicygroup.org. Oregon, California, Montana, Colorado, and Maine. Two of the five states, Oregon and California, are the only states to so far meet or exceed 35%. Now, these are of registered voters. So these are people that probably voted for governor. They probably voted for president. Only 35% of the registered voters, and that's the highest. So I got some numbers here just to give you guys some perspective. Wisconsin midterm primary turnout. For Wisconsin August partisan primaries, which this is today, the election used to select Democratic and Republican nominees and the statewide turnout was. If you had to, why don't we do a little guessing game? Xavier, are you busy? You're always a fun guinea pig to play with.
Sure.
All right. In 2014, so we're going to go back quite a ways. That's 12 years. We had a partisan midterm primary. So that would have been Obama. So Obama's last midterm election. So Obama at this point, pretty close to a lame duck. If you had to guess, Xavier, what do you think Wisconsin voter turnout was in the primary election of 2014?
25%.
14.4. 600,000 ballots were cast statewide.
Damn.
6 million people in the state of Wisconsin and basically the population of Milwaukee statewide cast ballots. 2018, that was another midterm election. In fact, that was the midterm election in which Tony Evers won the Democratic nomination. Kelda Royce was in that race. Maylin Mitchell was in that race. Probably some other people were in that race. I think Paul Soglin, who was the former mayor of Madison, was in that race. He's crazy, and he has Bernie Sanders hair. He didn't do very well. In 2018, Xavier, if you had to guess, what was midterm voter turnout in the primary in which Tony Evers advanced to the general?
Going off of what you just said before, I'm a little skeptical. So 10%.
23 points.
Oh, geez.
So it went up a little bit.
I should have just switched.
2022. That was a primary election that saw another race for lieutenant governor. Also saw a, well, there was going to be a Democratic primary for U.S. Senate, but Sarah Godlewski, Alex Lazary, and others dropped out of that race to give Mandela Barnes a clear, unadulterated path to take his shot at Ron Johnson without having to deal with the infighting of a Democratic primary. 2022, that midterm election turnout in the state of Wisconsin was 25.8%. We haven't even gotten close to 30% turnout going back 12 years in midterm elections. Even the unusually high turnout for 2022, which was just under 26%, attracted only about 1 in 4 of Wisconsin's voting age population. Why are primary turnouts so much lower? It's not going to make any sense when you guys see how low these vote totals are. It's also going to be very deceptive because as you are watching the election returns tonight, you're probably going to see Francesca Hong up by 70%. She'll be 70. David will be 30. Then, of course, you're going to have the Joel going to stay at 2%. Joel should dress up as a carton of milk for Halloween because he just stayed at 2%. That'd be too much for me to handle. I got too much pride. If I'm running statewide, and only 2 voters out of 100 will support me, I got to think about what I want to do with my life. You know what I mean? I got to go back to the drawing board and just maybe.
Was he in the race the whole time?
He got in late. He got in. December was a big month. So Mandela got in December. David launched in September. So Labor Day, right around there. Then Aunt Fran must have gotten in probably somewhere around there. She wasn't a late arrival. Who knows when Kelda got in? I don't even know if Kelda knows when she got in. Kelda might have got a phone call one day. Hey, Kelda, we submitted a bunch of paperwork for you. You're going to run for governor. She's like, all right, I'll run. Kelda is the state senator in Madison where Francesca Hong is an assembly representative in Kelda's Senate district. So assembly districts represent about 50,000 people. Senate districts represent 3 assembly districts. So there's roughly 150,000 constituents in 1 Wisconsin state Senate district, and we have 33 state Senate districts. The Senate, of course, is the upper chamber of the Wisconsin legislature. The assembly is the lower chamber. There are 99 members of the assembly. They represent roughly 50,000 people, sometimes getting close to 60,000 people. Even though Kelda Royce represents 3 times the number of people in the Senate than Francesca Hong, Francesca Hong is going to get 10 times the vote as the senator that she serves at the pleasure of. Boy, oh boy, are we going to have some interesting things to decipher and to pick apart. So Francesca must have gotten in, I don't know, probably around the fall, I'm assuming. And then December came, so Mandela gets in. And then Joel, who I think had been considering it, and I think they wanted to see what the field was going to look like. Were people going to continue to jump into the race for governor? Were people going to start to drop out? Were people going to drop out early and start supporting Sarah Rodriguez? Sarah Rodriguez launched probably, she launched after David Crowley, but she was the heir apparent. So she didn't, she didn't. She might have launched right around the same time, probably early September, but she's the heir apparent. And here's why I feel bad for the lieutenant governor, Sarah Rodriguez, but ultimately we shouldn't feel bad for her at all because she helped screw this whole thing up. She wasn't really getting much attention at all. In fact, a lot of people didn't even know that she was lieutenant governor. The number of people, even when we brought her name up on this show, when I was listing the candidates, this is back last fall, last winter, people were saying, Sherwin, who was the Sarah Rodriguez? Well, she's the heir apparent. She just didn't have it. You know what I mean? Some candidates have it. Some people just excite you. They have a charisma. They have an energy. Franny Pants has that. Watch out for the Asians. You know what I mean? Like, we've been sleeping on the Asians. We just been over here buying their food, doing a lot of trading with them, like overseas for sure. Black women have been buying their hair. But we never really thought that Shout out to my man, Yi Ling Zhang. I can't wait for his commercial to play. I'm going to start. I do a little dancing because he's the only one supporting the black media. He was like, you know what? These blacks been good to me. Been buying our egg rolls. We love egg roll. I don't know what it is about black people and an egg roll. And so what we do, because we'll go to like an ethnic restaurant, black people will, and we're like, we can make this at home. Now you got buffalo chicken egg rolls, Philly cheesesteak egg rolls. You got whole black restaurants that have a whole egg roll section. That's a nod to our Asian brothers and sisters. I think we as black people, we like the Asians. I don't think they care for us too much. They don't like, we like them though. I like them. I like the Asians. You like the Asians, Xavier? They make some good food.
Oh, yeah. I love Asians.
My favorite Asian is the Thai.
Oh.
Thai food is next level.
Oh, I thought we were talking about something else.
Nah, hold on, man. Don't fetishize the Asian ladies.
What? I did not. I like Asians.
Like as a culture?
Yeah.
What kind of Asians? Because there's men. Indians are Asian. Technically, Russia is Asian. So when you're talking about your favorite Asian, wait a minute, is this racist for us to be talking about Asians like this?
No. We love their culture. We love what they bring to society, and we love and respect them. So we're just admiring them and just talking about which ones are our favorites. Just like they probably talk about which rappers are their favorite, you know?
No, they don't. I don't think Asians talk about that at all.
Yeah, they do.
Asians talk about math and learning. Education. There's as many Asians on this ballot as there are black people.
Yeah.
The only blacks we got, you got Will Martin, who is the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor. Very unusual fella he is. I'm going to withhold my judgment on him because, I mean, I heard some stuff. But like I'm not here to talk about No. You look it up.
Oh, what's his name again?
Will Martin.
Will Martin.
He's African American, and he's running as a Republican candidate for lieutenant governor.
All right.
I'm not sure if he has a primary. He may. But I think he is the. No, he doesn't. It's just him. So it's just him, and then on the Democratic side, Sarah Godlewski, who we talked to about 45 minutes ago, she's the only Democrat running for lieutenant governor. But yeah, that's it. You got David Crowley, who's running for governor, and then you got Will Martin, who's a Republican candidate for lieutenant governor. I'm going to withhold, because it's none of my business. Whatever people want to do, you can do it.
Like what?
Stuff.
Do stuff like what?
What things?
Like?
Activities.
Nope. A little touching?
No, I ain't nobody. No, don't say that. I don't know who we be touching.
I'm just
asking. It's none of my business who we touches.
You know some information that all the viewers want to hear about. You can just say allegedly.
No, I'm not. Why are you making it seem like he's a pervert? I don't know.
I didn't say that.
You think all Republicans is perverts?
Kinda. I mean, look who they support.
I ain't got nothing to say about that. All I know is that they've got a real bad PR problem. But here's what makes it even worse. As bad as the Republicans are, especially those that universally follow Donald Trump, they agree with him even when he is wrong. They agree with him even when he's doing illegal things. Okay, these terrible, terrible Republicans that I don't believe are good stewards of the American economy, of decency, of just, you know, what our politics should represent. I don't know if they're good examples and good mentors of that because, you know, children are watching what we are doing. But here's what's crazy. They still find a way to beat the damn Democrats. That's more embarrassing for the Democrats than it is for the Republicans, as bad as they are, as bad as some Republicans say Republican candidates and elected officials are, they still beat the Democrats. This is why I somewhat kind of understand why the Democratic Party and some voters are just, they're sick of it. Because how do you lose to a party that's just, that's a little bit more complicated than that. I did a little bit of additional analysis, and when progressives and those who are on the far left spectrum of politics, they're so far on the left that they're almost falling off the scale. When they find a climate or an issue that gets them off of the sidelines and participating, because I think a lot of far left people are so disappointed and disenchanted with the candidates and with the party platforms. I think a lot of them don't vote, or they'll go to a third party if they vote at all, right? But when they are active and they have an issue and they're firm on their issues, and I got a lot of respect because I'm going to emulate something that they do. If whatever their issue is at the time, because whatever their issue was when they were supporting Bernie in 2016 was, and there was also a contingent of far left people who were doing lots of pro-Palestinian protests, and I know a lot of those folks, and they would tell me consistently to my face, Sherwin, we're never voting for Kamala. I said, hold on, everybody, slow down. We're way better off if Kamala gets elected. She's a war criminal, too. Okay, we have to try and, like, look at these things in relative terms now. So when the far left has an issue that engages them in gubernatorial or presidential contests, and if their issue is not met, they're not going to vote for the Democratic candidate. And this is the problem that I have with some of the left-leaning progressives. I know for an absolute fact. I mean, they're lying now because it's easier for them to lie because Francesca Hong is in such a lead in the polls. That if David Crowley somehow pulls out an upset, they wouldn't support him. They wouldn't. They'd call him pro-Israel. He's too establishment. He's too moderate. He's Republican light. I already know what they're going to say about him. In 2016, Donald Trump won because Bernie Bros, who typically would be Democrats if they were to vote, they voted for Jill Stein. That took just enough votes away from Hillary Clinton. I know people didn't like Hillary Clinton, but look what you got instead. 2024, the protests, the pro-Palestinian protests, those were major. That was a really big issue. And that's a lot of some of the Democratic Socialist folks. In fact, every pro-Palestinian person that I know relates better to being a Democratic Socialist than they do being a moderate establishment centrist Democrat. Okay? Francesca Hong checks that box for them. But if she's not the nominee, they're going to do what they've always done. They're very consistent. And they sometimes are the reason why these Republicans win. You can be so ideologically entrenched that you won't look for the greater good. And I would argue Palestine has lost more, has been destroyed more. Netanyahu is more unhinged right now with Trump being reelected than if Kamala was occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's election day in the state of Wisconsin. Go and vote, but only vote once. And you can register at the polls. Want more information about where you go and vote and also your current registration status? It's very easy. Go to myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Some nice election day jazz for you. For Real Sports said, he and, was it your wife? Yeah. For Real Sports says, my wife and I voted at Bryant Elementary in Milwaukee. We were number 11 and 12. Now, hang on a second. Let me find out where Bryant Elementary is, because that's going to give me a demographic profile of the neighborhood. Milwaukee is so segregated that if you give me any landmark in any part of the 96.1 square miles of this city, I'm going to tell you what the racial makeup is of the neighborhood. Bryant Elementary is way on the northwest side, 87th and Thurston. So we're looking at either the 9th or the 2nd aldermanic district. Both of those are majority black aldermanic districts and majority black parts of the city. So this is the problem that David is going to have, right? So turnout is going to be very, very low, and I think that's going to favor someone who is liked by Madison voters. And Madison Democratic primary voters are exceptionally liberal. They are so liberal that they are not attributable. Like, their political sentiments are not generally election worthy, right? They're less party aligned, even though they're all going to vote for Democrats. They have specific ideologies that are far left of center, because Madison is a weird place. It's not reality. Whenever you go to Madison, Twilight Zone music starts playing. Even the black people in Madison, and shout out to the black people that are in Madison. You guys are great. God bless you for being there. All 25,000 of you. You guys saw the Jordan Peele movie Get Out, right? You know, the black people in that movie, obviously, they've had their bodies taken over by white people. And they have, like, this thousand-yard stare, the African-American characters in that fantastic horror film, Get Out. That's Madison black people. They're just Good Lord, they're so different. The lower the voter turnout is, the stronger Francesca Hong's support will be and the better she is going to do. When you have majority black neighborhoods, because any black person you talk to that's even somewhat engaged in this election, they're all voting for David Crowley, and they're very emotional about it. Don't believe me? Listen to Ray Nitti. Ray Nitti's probably going to yell for all the hours he's on the air today. He's just going to be screaming at people.
Yeah, he was there yesterday.
Ray Nitti, yeah, he was. He was at the Crowley rally. He's so committed to David that he's repeated, like, positive things about David and negative things about Francesca so well that, like, they're stuck in my mind. I know now, because of Nitti, that Francesca Hong attempted to pass, like, 248 pieces of legislation and only passed one. I would have never known that because I wouldn't care to look it up. But, boy, oh, boy, Ray lets you know. But I also will say this. How much legislation you pass, it don't matter. Because being a legislator and being the executive are not even apples and oranges. It's like grapefruit and potatoes. It's like chicken livers and palm trees. They're totally different. Very, very, very different. David would need voter turnout to be closer to 40% if someone for real sports told us that he and his wife were voter number 11 and 12. And I'm assuming they probably voted during the 10 o'clock hour. Right? That's really, really bad, y'all. That's, what is that, 4 votes an hour? It's not good. But if that number, instead of being 11 and 12, was 80 or 90 or 110 and 111, that's going to favor David Crowley. Because the people that would ultimately support David and give him a primary victory are not going to vote. So his campaign has got to rely on undecided voters who probably are not from Milwaukee, because if you live in the vast majority of the city of Milwaukee, you probably, there's a 40% chance you're black. And of the African Americans, it's probably 75 or 80% of them that would likely prefer David Crowley. And maybe because they're just voting on the fact that they know him, they like him, they went to school with him, they like the fact that he's county executive, they remember him when he was state representative, or the very lowest common denominator, sometimes black people just vote for black candidates. I wish we would do a little bit better than that, because you guys know all skin folk ain't kin folk. Hell, for a brief minute, I was telling people to vote for Joel Brennan. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that. I thought something was going to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been trying to make something happen since April. I really have. I've been trying to light fires. I've been trying to get the candidates a little engaged and excited, because I don't know if anybody has been covering this election like us here on 101.7. The truth, there ain't nobody covering it like us. We got it covered. We're the best ever in the world. We're the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Thank you, Xavier. Even though I'm the only person here that's won a Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Award, that's fine. So whenever you hear the other host say the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, you're welcome. What are we doing with our lives here? What do I have here? Do I want to read this to you? Wisconsin voters on Tuesday will decide whether to choose a new direction for the state's Democratic Party by electing a Democratic Socialist as the party's nominee for governor, or to maintain course by advancing a candidate who sounds more like the mild-mannered Democrat voters have come accustomed to holding state offices. 4 active Democratic candidates are on the ballot, but this race has ultimately come down to State Representative Francesca Hong, a Democratic Socialist, the Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, a more moderate Democrat. Quote, what happens in the gubernatorial primary could have both short and long-term consequences for Democrats in Wisconsin and even nationally, said Barry Burden. He is director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Elections Research Center. Another strike against David is having Joel Brennan, who does also occupy a moderate, dare I say, establishment lane. That Joel's going to overperform his 2%. He has to. But because his politics are very, very similar, and he's just as connected to Tony Evers as David Crowley is, I would argue that Joel Brennan is more connected and has been more connected to Governor Tony Evers than David Crowley. So some of the folks that have that Evers sentiment, they want that steady, cool, not very flashy, man of few words kind of leadership, Joel is going to take some votes away from David Crowley amongst those who were undecided. I do not believe our undecided voters in the state of Wisconsin are still in the mid-30s. It's probably somewhere in the teens, if that. But even those undecided voters have a whole bunch of different options. In fact, some of them might say, well, hell, if you can't beat them, join them, and they're going to go to Franny Pants. Either way, it's going to be exceptionally difficult to defeat her in this primary because the campaigns did not pick up any major steam or momentum until, I don't know, a week ago. You're only hearing your first anti-Francesca Hong ad this week. It's too late. And then I get so frustrated because I've been doing campaigns for 20-something years. And here's the two most valuable things. Well, three. Volunteers. Volunteers are the lifeblood of any campaign. Anyone that can labor for your cause and your message and knock on doors and talk to people and help staff different events that you don't have to pay are worth their weight in gold. So volunteers is top priority. Okay. The next most valuable resource I would say is money. Got to have the money. You want the best people, you got to pay the best people. Want the best political director, want the best communications person, you want the best, got to pay those people. They're very experienced. They know how this stuff works. They're very sophisticated political scientists. You got to have money. You want to do some direct mail, you want to do some digital, you want to do some television, you want to do some radio. I'm going to say it again for the people in the back. You want to advertise on radio? We're open for, just to let y'all know, we accept ads here. Unbelievable. Some of you Democrats are just fat people. I didn't have to bring weight into this. That's not fair. But they're fat because they're fat heads because they don't want to spend money with the airwaves that support them and their damn policies. So you need money. Got to have it. I know people don't like money in politics, but you got to have it. You got to spread your message, and your message costs money. Airtime costs money. Direct mail costs money. Digital ads, all that stuff costs money. Got to have money. But then the next most valuable resource that you have, because this is the most finite of all resources, time. Because it runs out. Because you know when the election day is. And every single day that you wake up, that election day is closer. And you can't slow time down. So you got to start this stuff early. You got to build momentum early. You got to redline that damn engine. You got to keep your pedal to the metal. You got to floor it. You got to be in fifth gear. David Crowley has been in first gear in the slow lane for 7 months. Driving 35 on the highway. Franny Pants been going 65. So think about how much further you are going to get distance-wise if you have been driving at 65 miles an hour for 7 months as opposed to somebody who's driving 35 and then David Crowley's campaign, oh, I think we're going to get off the highway and grab a bite to eat. Franny just been going in a Honda, probably, or a Toyota, but she's just been driving. She hadn't stopped. She picked up a few more liberals along the way, picked up a couple of communists. Picked up a few people with pink and purple hair. Picked up all the gays. All the gays are in her car. Every last gay. She probably even made new gays. There were some people that were straight before they joined her campaign. They're gay now. What? There's nothing wrong with if you want to change. A lot of women do it. Women be like, oh, I'm done with men. I'm going to be gay. And I'm going to vote for Francesca Hong. She's very gay friendly. And her campaign platform says she's going to be unabashed in her support for the gays and the queers. Like, that's their person. Franny is. Got a car full of gays, pink hair, purple hair. Several of the people in Franny's car not wearing any underwear. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM on this Election Day special. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Girl, don't leave me here. Leave me here all alone. Won't you say that it ain't so? Say it ain't so.
Oh, here we go. Wait a minute. Lady B said. Sherwin, thanks for disrupting my sleep last night. I fell asleep after listening to the night show, and I kid you not, you were in my dream. What? It's the perfect music, too, because I know this music was playing in the background. And I was wearing a black suit with a cape on.
Wake your ass up, Lady B.
You get that photo yet?
Daddy's home. Photo of what?
Of Lady B.
No, she won't send me one.
Oh, well.
It's probably better this way.
Yeah.
She might be kind of a Wolf of Wall Street, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't have that. In my mind, she's perfect.
Prove yourself.
Sometimes you don't want to know. The fantasy is best left untouched. That's why they say you should never meet your heroes, because you will be disappointed.
I like reality.
I'm not going to meet anybody that I... If I meet somebody organically, randomly, okay, that's different, but I'm not going to arrange it.
Yeah, it'll be at the True Family Fest.
I don't think I'm going.
Oh, you're not going?
I don't think so.
I have a wedding, so I can't.
Well, who the hell going to be there then?
All the other shows.
Oh, fair enough. Lady B says that movie was so scary. Talking about Get Out. What else we got going on here? Get Out. They tried to classify that movie as a comedy because of who made it. It was scary. Being in a sunken place, that's not good. I mean, I can see the comedic aspects of it, but no, it was a horror movie if you ask me. Felix said, I'm going to go vote later. Me too, Felix. Felix, who you going to vote for? Are y'all okay telling me who you vote for? Put it in the YouTube chat. I'm curious. Not that it matters, because half of y'all are going to lie. If every single person who is listening right now, no, I shouldn't say that. Because the majority of the people that listen to me, how you can listen to this program, and if you listen faithfully and religiously, how can you not vote? But I know the turnout is going to be so incredibly low that most people are going to lie about it. They're going to lie. There has been so much commentary, because a lot of people have taken to social media, black people in particular, or maybe I'm just overexposed to the blacks, that our form of support for a candidate is just posting stuff on social media, which does no good. Does no good. You're just showcasing to people that are probably already in the same political affiliation as you who you're going to vote for. So you're not changing any minds. It's almost like a yard sign. People get all bent out of shape about yard signs. Yard signs are a visual representation, I guess, of an individual household support. But also, you got to keep in mind, there could be six people in a house. One Francesca supporter, but there's a Fran sign out front. Other people could be, all other five people could be David Crowley supporters or Kelda supporters or old Mr. 2% Joel Brennan. And so you think, oh my God, Fran has another yard sign up. You don't know all the people that live in their property or what their voting behaviors are. So I think yard signs are, they're an arbitrary measure of what a candidate's support is. I know that for the last two damn months, I've been staring at a Francesca Hong yard sign directly across the street from me, and I know they did that on purpose. Because in all the years I've lived in the house I've lived in, the person who lives across the street, they've never had political yard signs out.
Maybe never. She's the first candidate to speak to their, to speak to them.
She very well could have been. She told me, she texted me and said, sure, what I'm going to be doing doors in your neighborhood. I'm like, first of all, how you know where I live at?
You talk about it all the time.
No, I don't tell people where I live at.
Sherwin Park.
No, I don't live over there. I live on Brady Street.
And then you're like, oh, yeah. I live right around the corner from Homer Blow.
Well, nobody know where Homer live. Homer don't tell his address. Homer don't tell a lot of stuff. What Homer does tell, he tells. But everything else, he don't. So did nobody knock on my door, which is fine. Or maybe I wasn't home. No, my Ring camera would have captured it. So a day or so after, probably that same day, I saw Francesca Hong yard sign. They did it on purpose. But she did a lot of campaigning in Milwaukee, which I admire. A lot of grassroots campaigning. She didn't raise the most money in the race, but I think she got the most mileage out of the money that she did raise. Because she had this army of people, and that is what you can use to gauge a successful campaign. How many foot soldiers do you have? How many committed people? How many folks are showing up to your rallies? Because it takes a lot to get up and get out of the house and to go listen to a candidate speak. You are committed if you do that. And there are candidates that I absolutely, unequivocally support and have supported them for a very long time. But I'm not going to stand up for 3 hours and listen to you talk. In fact, if I can't sit down at the rally, I probably ain't going. Hell, I went to go see Obama speak, and I was like, I'm not standing. Are you crazy? No way. I'm not listening to them talk. They all say the same thing. we're going to go out here and we're going to win this race and we're going to fight for middle class families. We're going to make your lives more affordable and down with Donald Trump. And in the crowd, yay. Nobody want to hear that.
It is interesting going to the different rallies and just seeing the makeup of the supporters.
Once you've been to one, you've been to them all. And then they bring out their cast of characters and they bring out their celebrities and their stars. Tony Evers is a really nice guy, but Tony Evers doesn't excite nobody. I've seen paint drying that was more exciting than Tony Evers. No offense, Governor. You did your job very, very well, and you deserve the whatever years you have left in retirement. Thank you for bridging the gap when we really needed it from Donald Trump's first midterm election to his last. That's how long Tony Evers has been governor. A very crucial 8 years as a stopgap from pushing back on this Republican-controlled legislature that had a lot of Donald Trump sentiments. We thank you for your service, Governor Evers, but I'm not coming out to hear you speak. David Crowley, known him for a very, very long time, think he's done a fantastic job as county executive, think he did a great job when he was in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Don't take my word for it. Ask Ray Nitti. Ray Nitti will tell you everything David Crowley's ever done. Ray Nitti will tell you what David Crowley had for breakfast for the last 7 years. I don't want to hear David Crowley speak. David Crowley's going to start every speech with, every day is a good day. No, it's not, David. It's not. You've had very bad days. Many of them. Tons.
That's what he said to me yesterday.
Every time.
I was like, hey, how are you doing today? Today's a good day. I was like, okay.
No, I've had terrible. Some days I wake up just blurting out explicatives. I got to do this damn radio. I don't want to go. And I just sit there on the edge of the bed. I'm like, you know what? They can play a recorded show. I don't really have to go in. Oh, by the way, I'm not here next Monday. So,
Xavier,
yeah, play a recorded show for me next Monday. I got
yeah,
a standing commitment every year that I do. So it falls on August 17th next. No, what's today? It's 11th? Next week, I better find out what day that is. Well, I'm not here one day next week. So just everybody relax.
I got you.
But, I'm not going to listen to these people speak. What are you going to say to me? Every day is a good day. What's Kelda say when she speaks? I don't know. Why am I not doing better? What's Joel say? I was in the Evers administration. That helped with a lot of stuff. Well, why don't you guys like me? That's what Joel was saying. I'm nice. I'm the middle of the road. I'm the white guy. What happened to being white? I could see Joel like complaining to his wife, Audra, like, what happened? White, being a white dude used to be popular. Now you got a black dude beating you, a very small Asian woman who dresses like Rosie the Riveter. That's just got to make the whites mad. I can understand. I really can't. I don't want you to think that I can't empathize with how the whites are feeling, because you're just watching all the browns. All the browns are just beating you. It's like, oh, man. I also can understand how some whites will be like, you know what, maybe we should join one of these white supremacist groups because we're getting overtaken. You kind of are. If you had it real good for, this is hard for us as black people to relate to, but once you get familiar with history, it all makes sense to you. White people had like a beautiful run for 500 years. Beautiful. They were just taking stuff. Give me that, you Indian. Give me all of your land. And the Indians were like, hey, how about you just, we'll share a portion. Like, no, we want it all. Come here, blacks. Hey, can you leave us alone, please? We're over here in Africa chilling. No, you're going to work for a long time, and then you're going to get free, and we're going to make it hard for you for another 100 years. And then we're going to kill Dr. King. They just had it really good. And now all of a sudden, blacks and Asians. Shout out to the candidate for Wisconsin State Treasurer. Yi Ling Zhang, that's our boy. I can't wait to vote for him. I should have him on the show.
You really should. He's an awesome guy.
Like, do you know him?
Oh, no, I just know he escaped communism and he's going to fight for us and he's going to balance the budget and give people that need money, money.
Look at that. He's going to find our unclaimed property. Dude might call to show him, like, Sherwin, I found you a house that one of your relatives just left you.
Exactly.
Word. I got to take a break. Look at the time. Yikes. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Get ready. 101.7 The Truth Family Fest is back. Join us Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School for free back-to-school resources, live entertainment, family activities, and community fun. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot by visiting truthfamilyfest.com. That is truthfamilyfest.com or email sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. That is Sierra, CIERRA.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, artists working in education, and Ascension Healthcare. Today's election day. If you want to join us for continuing coverage tonight at 7 p.m. via the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel, myself and a former 101.7 The Truth host, Dr. Ken Harris, going to be bringing you, I don't know what we're going to talk about. Who knows? I just let Dr. Ken talk. I tend to use a lot of profanity when I do my evening broadcast. I cussed somebody out yesterday.
Oh, about what?
I don't know. It's probably you, Xavier.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't me. I was at the rally.
They called me. It was pro something something Francesca, and if you support her, like, that's perfectly fine. This is a primary, but if you support her and you personally attack someone that doesn't, I gave them a bunch of FUs. Like, we don't need. I'm like, on my podcast, because I think people think that what I do in the evening on my YouTube channel is similar to what I do here. I will single you out and just read you the riot act. And it's going to be on that YouTube show forever because I'm never taking it down. So people got to be very, very careful. Like, you can have your opinions and debate on the merits, debate on the issue. Show me where the policy that I support is faulty. And I promise you, I'm going to hear you out because I don't always have it right. But to say, all of you stupid establishment, you guys are, you're terrible people. Don't do that, because at some point, y'all are going to want all of us to come back together to support her, and we are going to be reminded. A bunch of us are keeping receipts. I had to take posts down because of factual things that I said about Francesca and where I didn't believe that she was ready to lead all of the agencies in the executive branch of state government. You would have thought that I killed 50 kittens. I'm like, okay, cool. And I just got tired of it because I did it on Threads. Those people on Threads are vicious. I had to cuss somebody out on Threads this morning. I said, because I posted something on Facebook, and a lot of my Facebook posts go to Threads. I was like, voter turnout is not going to exceed 35%. I actually want to change it to 30% because it's not even going to exceed 30%, as excited as some of you are. We've had people that have chimed in already. With the polls being open for damn near 4 hours now, it's barely double-digit voters that have cast their ballot. Turnout is going to be exceptionally low. So I put on my Facebook page, turnout's not going to exceed 35%. And, of course, the overexposed are like, no, Sherwin, it's going to be, the establishment is going to come out. No, they're not. Nobody voting today. Plus, it's raining. So this one lady was like, you clearly don't know what's going on. Voter turnout is going to be way higher than 35%. I called her a nincompoop. Because she said a very nincompoopy thing. Voter turnout is not going to be high. But if you're very committed, if you worked on one of these campaigns and you volunteered and if you've given money to one of the candidates and you have their damn yard sign, you think that everybody and their mother is as excited as you. I bet if you walked around the city of Milwaukee right now, a third of the people don't even know it's Election Day, because there's not even the vote sign. They usually put the signs out a couple of days before the election. Hey, election coming up. Vote. They put them on boulevards. Remember when they used to do that? They don't do that no more.
I wonder why that is.
No, budget cuts, maybe. Probably because it doesn't matter.
Why did you think the caller was me? Was he funny?
No, I wasn't a caller. It was somebody typing in the chat.
Oh, that you were, that was typing the establishment and all that crap.
I mean, you're the ops.
I'm not the ops.
A little bit.
That's all right. I'm a reasonable guy.
Oh, no, you're not.
I'm very reasonable.
Don't say to me this morning, why are people getting so emotional? Can I just tell y'all?
No, you can't. Yes, you can.
Of course. I was just waiting for you to say I could. So I'm doing my show yesterday. I'm talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about. Do I ever? There's soundproof glass, okay? I'm in my own room here. Xavier is in another room through, like, 2-inch thick soundproof glass. I heard him and Nitty yelling at each other through soundproof glass.
We were just having a spirited conversation.
Y'all was like, y'all was about to get into it. And Zach was just like, because Zach walked in the middle of it. Zach is texting me. He's like, Sherwin, what did I walk into? I was like, World War III. The truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour three.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.